If you have a question or comment about something you've heard on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
The point is that shining the light of the gospel into the world, proclaiming the doctrine of Christ, is that preeminently good work, which results in people giving glory to the Heavenly Father above all others.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. As we pondered the second half of the Beatitudes last time, we saw the same double move continue. Jesus was describing himself, and yet also at the same time promising blessedness to those who hung with him, the truly blessed one. He's the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness and indeed bestows that righteousness upon us, his perfect righteousness imputed to us now and righteousness begun in us by the Holy Spirit to be perfected at the resurrection. Remember, the inner Beatitudes are all futures. He is both the merciful one and calls us to mercy in confidence of receiving mercy. He is the ultimate pure of heart, but he purifies our hearts by faith with the promise that we shall see God. He is the consummate peacemaker, but he sends us out as ambassadors of his reconciliation with the promise that we'll be called God's own children on the last day. And then the last beatitude framed with the first for a present gift, the kingdom of heaven. It's ours right now already in him, and he bestows it on those persecuted for righteousness' sake. Lastly, remember how he moved from third to second person. Blessed are y'all. He describes the persecution that attends being his disciple and calls for a response of joy. Why? Well, you're in good company with the prophets. Your reward is great in heaven. And we saw how the apostles lived that out. Moving on, the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. St. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig into this section of the Sermon on the Mount? Let's do it. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. First thing to notice is that Jesus tells his disciples that they will have a worldwide impact. Salt of the earth. His mission for these men is not small. And in fact, it will run to the very end of time itself. But what did he mean by salt of the earth? Salt, of course, had and has many uses. You can put it in food or even drink. My wife and I love a little bit of salt in our coffee, and it enhances flavor. That's the sense you get from Job 6. Can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? More importantly, it was anciently how meat was preserved. Now, my family is from Virginia, and one of the treats that we enjoy was to get what we called country ham. Ham that had been salted to preserve it and then aged. Sadly, I'm the only one in my immediate family who actually likes it, so I only get it these days when we stop in at a Cracker Barrel. But salt definitely can extend the life of meat and hold off the rot. So, many commentators on the text tend to run with an analogy derived from either salt's ability to flavor or to preserve. But there is another important use in the Bible, and I suspect that's what holds the key to Jesus' meaning here. Listen, with all your offerings you shall offer salt, Leviticus 2, verse 13. Toward the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus will say, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And what is God's but the whole earth? To offer it back to him is indeed the calling of the disciples of Jesus. But they'll offer it back as a sacrifice that's pleasing to him, and so it will be the salt of the covenant in the offering of the sacrifice. They'll put into the world that which makes the world an acceptable offering to God. They will sprinkle the very salt of Christ through the world, which makes the offering of the world acceptable and a pleasing sacrifice to God indeed. St. Ignatius of Antioch uses this image when he writes to the Magnesian Christians way back toward the end of the first century. He said, "Now that we've become pupils of his, that is of Christ's, let us learn to live like Christians. To profess any other name but that is to be lost to God. So lay aside the old good-for-nothing leaven, now grown stale and sour, and change to the new, which is Jesus Christ. Have yourselves salted in him, and then there will be no scent of corruption about you, for it is by your odor that you will be proved." Magnesians, paragraph 10. You get the image? Christ preserves you and makes you an acceptable sacrifice by salting you to God. But Jesus warns that it's possible for the salt to lose its saltiness and so its usefulness. Then it's only good to be tossed out and trampled. This happens when a disciple falls away from Christ and his gospel, either in life, think of Judas, or in doctrine, think of heresy. Lord, protect us from this and keep us true to your Son. Martin Luther, the greatest of the 16th century reformers of the church, he explained it like this. The real salt is the true exposition of Scripture, which denounces the whole world and lets nothing stand but simple faith in Christ. When this is gone, then it's all over, and all the rest of our teaching and rebuking is worthless. Good thought. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Note again the universal scope of the apostolic mission of the church. Light of the world. And the church here is both depicted as being a light and as being a city shining with light set on a hill like a beacon. This is exactly the image of Isaiah 2, isn't it? It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." See the light that streams from Zion, the city of God, set on that high hill. It's the teaching which she brings into the world. This cannot be hidden. In the Opus Imperfectum, an anonymous writing from the 4th century, the author asks, "What is this city?" and answers, "It is the church of the holy people. Moreover, all the faithful are its citizens, of whom the apostle says, 'You are fellow citizens with the saints and are part of God's household.'" And note that the church, the disciples, are able to be this light because in this city, the light of the gospel sounds forth. She shines with the light, not of her own making, but of God's gracious giving and proclaiming. Verse 15. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Back to that anonymous author again for his helpful comment on this verse too. Who are the lighters of the lamp? The Father and the Son. What is this lamp? The divine word, of which it has been said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What is the lampstand? The church, which bears the word of life. There it is in a nutshell. Christ is calling these men to himself so that they might form the foundation stones of his city, which will be set high, and he's lighting in them the lamp of his divine word, which it will be their duty and delight to shine into all the world. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Interestingly, Luther does not take this as a reference to what we'd ordinarily call good works, acts of charity and love and kindness. He argues that what's in mind is specifically not the sort of works Christ will praise in the 25th chapter of Matthew, I was hungry and you fed me. Rather, Luther insists, is he thinking principally about the distinctly Christian work of teaching correctly, of stressing faith, and of showing how to strengthen and preserve it. This is how we testify that we are really Christians. And this makes a great deal of sense, does it not? The point is that shining the light of the gospel into the world, proclaiming the doctrine of Christ, is that preeminently good work, which results in people giving glory to the Heavenly Father above all others. It's how they become a thank offering to Christ, seasoned with his salt, shining with his light. This is what Paul would glory in when he would write to the Christians in Corinth. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5. So the message the disciples both brought and lived, that is salt and that is light. Their witness is the good works which have enabled people from one end of the world to the other and across all these centuries to join Jesus in glorifying the Heavenly Father for his great mercy and his astounding love. We sing this so beautifully in the church. May God bestow on us his grace, with blessings rich provide us. And may the brightness of his face to life eternal guide us, that we his saving health may know, his gracious will and pleasure, and also to the nations show Christ's riches without measure, and unto God convert them. Thine over all shall be the praise and thanks of every nation, and all the world with joy shall raise the voice of exultation. For thou shalt judge the earth, O Lord, nor suffer sin to flourish. Thy people's pasture is thy word, their souls to feed and nourish, in righteous paths to keep them. Next time, Jesus and the law. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.